Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now, if you take the A98 along the Murray coast, you'll start at Fraserburgh and you'll come into Macduff, through Banff, on to Portsoy, Cullen and Buckie, and then on to Fochabers. But if you stop halfway between Portsoy and Cullen, you'll notice a little sign pointing down to a place called Sand End. And if you will wend your way down there, the little fishing village there, you'll stop, no doubt, and you'll look to your right and you'll see a beach, pristine sand, about a mile in length, I would judge. And it's part of Sand End Bay. But if you stopped and looked behind you, you would see a house there, and it's called the Old Mission House. It was once the Gospel Hall there, and it's been converted to a residence. My grandparents lived in Sand End, and every summer we would go up on holiday. And Sunday was not the favourite day, but we were taken into the little Gospel Hall. And I remember going there as a young boy, and just about there was a poster. And there was a nutshell drawn. And in the nutshell there was a little Bible. And on the Bible there was a verse, and I'm sure that every one of you knows the verse that I refer to. That intrigued me for some reason, and I looked for it for years as I went up, and then one year it disappeared, I suppose. It got tatty, or they replaced it with something else. And I want to speak on that verse, the gospel in a nutshell, for really it includes everything that we need to know concerning the gospel. And if you haven't already turned to it, we'll turn to it now. And you know it's John 3:16, don't you? I don't suppose there's another gospel hall in this country, or indeed the world, that hasn't got a better view than coming out of the little gospel hall in Sand End and looking over that magnificent bay. It always used to be sunny on a Sunday and somewhat cloudy the rest of the week. That's how we remember it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I suppose everyone here could quote that. If you've been to Sunday school or Bible class, you've learned that. And it's a great verse. I remember my brother telling me, my brother George, he was in Diggs in Edinburgh, and there was a young lad that came to a knowledge of Christ. And George says one night he burst into the room and said, "Listen, George, I found this verse in the Bible that you must hear." And he read him John 3:16. And I sometimes would like to be able to read John 3:16, as if it were for the first time. And something of the truth of it just dawn on us, and we can grasp it and understand something of it. But I'm interested in that little, the third word there. For God so loved the world. I used to think it meant that God loved the world very much. And God does love the world very much. And we'll see the outcome and the result of that in a moment or two. He does love the world very much. He loves you very much, and he loves me very much. But that's not what that little word means. It doesn't mean as much as. But it means just as, or in the same way. And you say, well, what does that mean? For God loves in the same way the world. What was the same way? Well, we've got to go back, and that little word for just brings us on to that. We've got to go back to verse 14. And verse 14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." And our minds go back to Numbers 21, and let's do that. Let's just read the incident where it was that there was these serpents that were among the people of Israel. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4 says, "And they," that's the children of Israel, "they were going in the wilderness," as you know this story. "They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to encompass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.'" This was the very bread that God had given them. And they're now detesting it, hating it, loathing it. "And the Lord sent," verse 6, "and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld it, when he looked upon it, he lived." That was the incident that the Lord Jesus was relating to a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus had come and he wanted to enter into a discussion, a debate with the Lord Jesus, and he used some flattering words. I think he was an honest man, I think he was an honest seeker. But he came and he said, "We know that thou art a teacher, come from God, no man can do the miracles that thou doest." The Lord Jesus said, "You must be born again." And he used this incident of the serpent in the wilderness to illustrate what he was going to say, and also illustrate the love that God has for the world. For in the same way as God loved the children of Israel, he loves you and he loves me. You might say, it's a strange thing, isn't it, that the story in Numbers 21 doesn't address love at all. The people were there and they were bitten by fiery serpents because they had failed spectacularly in everything they did, and they were moaning and complaining against God, detesting the things that God had given them. And we see an ungrateful world around us too, don't we? Not grateful for the things that God has given us, grumbling and complaining. And God sent the fiery serpents among them and bit the people, and the word says many died. Now you cast your mind back and you will think of another serpent, won't you? In the Garden of Eden. Satan in the guise of a serpent comes and approaches Eve, as God said. And you know the story well. And the evil one, Satan, the devil, is portrayed in the scriptures as a serpent. And here we have the fruit of Satan. We have these fiery serpents coming in and biting the people. And God, they came to a form of repentance. And that is the first step in our approach to God for salvation. There has got to be an admission of sin. And they did. They came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." I'm not going to elaborate or explain or define sin. You know what it is and I know what it is. It's everything we've done wrong in our lives. Little things, little white lies as we call them. And the big things in life and everything in between. that which is against God, anti-God, not pleasing to God at all. And the Bible says, I was going to say, we're all in good company, we're all in bad company, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So here we are, like those children of Israel, we are being attacked by these fiery serpents, and unless something is done about it, we're going to die. And of course we're talking about spiritual things. No, we're not talking about nature, although we certainly will die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there was an admission of sin, admission of what they had done wrong, and this was the starting point. This was the starting point for them getting healing. And we read there that the people came to Moses and said, you must pray for us. Well, Moses could have said, well, why don't you pray for yourself? And the reason for that is, and it was quoted already today here, is there is one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. So Moses was a type of the Lord Jesus who was interceding between the people and God. And this is the same today. There needs to be a mediator between ourselves and God. And the Bible tells us that's the man Christ Jesus. And so they admitted their sins. And they repented of their sins. Pray to God for us. And this is what we need today. And the remedy was simple too, wasn't it? Look and live. The prophet Isaiah says, look unto me, all ye ends of the world, and be ye saved. And the idea here is not just a casual look. And just imagine the camp of the Israelites as they journeyed towards Mount Hor. Here was a tent here, and the man had been bit, the lady had been bit, the child had been bitten. And all they could do to help themselves, because they were under a death sentence, was look. Demonstrates God's love. It didn't say, well, you'll have to do this, or you'll have to do that. You'll have to do this great work, you'll have to give a sum of money to this, you must work for a charity. Look and live. And there are many in the halls who have just done that very thing. They've just looked to Christ and found salvation. You see, everybody who wanted to be saved had to look to the serpent himself. There was personal responsibility. And sometimes preachers tell us there's nothing to be done. And we know what they mean. The work of salvation has been done. But there's something you must do. And there's something I needed to do to get this salvation. We don't drift into it. It doesn't come gradually. It's not something that takes years until there's a light bulb moment and we think we've got salvation. And you must look into your life, into your past, and say to yourself, was there a day in my life that I trusted Christ? Was there an experience when I spoke to God and had this salvation? And if you can't do that, and you might be able to recite John 3:16, and you might know the scriptures very well, but unless you've had that definite personal experience, you're not saved. You're still under the death sentence, as these Israelites were in those days. And unless they had looked themselves, they died. Unless we look to Christ and find in him the means of salvation, the way of salvation that he provided by the death of himself, the Bible tells us that we're under condemnation. sentence has been passed. We're sitting in death row. We're sitting in the condemned cell. And until we take that act of looking to Christ and understanding something of the need we have, repentance, admission, and acceptance of Christ, we'll never know the experience of being born again. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said, listen to Nicodemus and old. And Moses lifted up the serpent and he put it on a pole, and it was there so that the people could see. I'm going to be lifted up in such a way. And we look to Calvary. And we understand something of the awfulness of that experience that the Lord Jesus Christ had. We shrink from looking and thinking and describing it such, because it shows the depravity of the human nature. And the old hymn used to say that they were part of the problem because they were there too in spirit at Calvary. And the Lord Jesus Christ went and he was lifted up so that men, women, boys, girls could look at him and find in him the salvation which we so desperately need. We come from death into life. We have our sins forgiven, past, present, and future, all because of a little act of faith that we might have. I had a friend once, and he said to me, well, tell me what I've got to say to become a Christian. And I had to explain to him that it wasn't words on a card that you read and that made you a Christian. It wasn't some rote or poem or hymn that you quoted and become a Christian. It's a personal experience that you must have. And if we went round the hall this evening and people gave their testimony, we'd see there was many ways of expressing this to God, but the core of it is this, is that we must believe. John 3:16 said that. And I worry about this. I worry that people don't quite understand what it means to believe. I'm concerned that you might understand what it means to believe. We know it must be more than agreeing that what we read in the Bible is true. It is true. But that's not the belief that is required. It's deeper than that. It's to have our faith in him. It's to put our trust in him. It's to entrust our whole eternal future into his hands. It's to have confidence in him. And understand that there was a time when Christ paid the price of his death on Calvary and shed his precious blood just for you. If you had been the only person in the world, Christ would still have had to go to the cross. And there he bore in his own body on the tree, that awful tree, the punishment that we should have. Now, we read in the Bible, no preacher likes talking about the future without Christ, but we have to be faithful to what the Bible teaches us, but we shrink from that. But listen, if we reject Christ, if we never have this commitment, this trust in him, there is an eternal punishment. Like, we can't equate that. We can't put a number on that. We can't. It's eternal. And the Lord Jesus Christ bore the sins and the punishment. And the wrath of God was poured out for him because God the hates, detests sin. And nothing that defiles will enter into God's heaven. And he bore that sin, that punishment which was yours. Now, it cannot be a mathematical equation. It cannot be something we can understand, that the infinite was expunged in 3 hours on the tree, but it's true. But it perhaps gives you an idea of what the Saviour suffered when it says that cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree. If you read the Gospels, we read of a perfect man, untouched by sin. We see it every day, we're coarsened by it. We rub shoulders with it. The Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. Indeed, in word and in thought. Never before had God the Father, never before was he able to open the heavens and declare, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The blessed man went to Calvary for your sins, and he went there for my sins. So there could come a time in your life experience, sitting in a little gospel hall in Dunfermline in 2024, you could hear the words of the Saviour, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." A simple act of faith, of commitment, of trust, of repentance before a God who knows and hears and sees everything ushers us into a future of blessing that we cannot begin to understand. And there is the present eternal life that we have the moment that we trust Christ, put our heart's confidence in him, get before God and commit to confess our sins. He's able to forgive us these sins. And he's longing for you to do that. And why don't we? Well, I'll tell you why we don't. Because I've been there. And I've told you before, a little laddie growing up in Arbroath, hearing the gospel week by week, refusing, knowing that I should, knowing that I wasn't saved, and knowing I should be saved, and I shook my puny little fist in God's face and said, "No," for months. And it's the wickedness of the human heart that will refuse the great offer that God has put before us of eternal life, of a home in heaven. Every sin forgiven, we stand before God righteous. Why is it that you're refusing? May God give you help. May the Spirit move. And may you trust Christ tonight.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.